Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I got berated and derided for not talking about the Notre Dame fire. Stories like that are, and I'm not going to say they're not important. You can go to all, everybody's covering it. We can look at the problem as it unravels and allow ourselves to be engrossed in something, or we can just let those people that want to do that do that. And I guess that maybe I shouldn't have ignored it, but okay, I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is, it's a story that's not going anywhere. It's going to take some time to get all the facts, and I'm not convinced that we will ever know the facts or the truth, because this happens to be France, and there's politics involved in in every facet, even on the religious side, there's politics involved. And so I don't know if we'll ever get the truth or the facts. I mean, there's lots of people that are making some assumptions. And it's not that I don't care about those things. What I care about are the things that are going to impact you, me, our children, our children's children, and the direction of our society. When when breaking news happens like that, sometimes I'll choose not to just cover it. I'll just wait until we get to some real good information that is starting to come out, because it's just a coincidence that this happened this particular week. You know, the week of the High Holy Times for, you know, Easter and so forth. For Christendom, there's a lot of irony in this. But anyway, it's not that I don't want to dwell on it. There's just way too many more important things than old artifacts that, you know, we don't want to see get lost. But there's way too many other important things. I mean, you've got to, did you not brush your teeth this morning? Did you not eat? Did you not do the things? Because those things are important. You got to do those things. And it's the same thing with focusing on energy. This show is trying to focus energy on very specific things. So forgive us for not, you know, not coming across, for coming, maybe possibly coming across as insensitive, or possibly coming across as like cavalier, we don't care. That's not the truth. The truth is that we have to prioritize. We've only got an hour on this show. When we grow to 2 hours, it'll still only be 2 hours. It won't be enough time to give you a constant feed. And I'm hoping we get to a point. I'm praying we can get to a point within the next couple of years, by 2020, 2021, excuse me, that we will have enough movement and momentum moving with this movement that you'll actually be fascinated and you'll actually be captivated with things as they begin to unravel, as we begin to pull back the unconstitutional powers from the federal government and see what happens when we really unleash the power of the republic. We got 50 governments that are sovereign, independent states. I mean, the smallest government in America, as far as states go, sovereignty states, right? That would be Rhode Island. Rhode Island is equal to the state of China. May not have the same amount of people, definitely doesn't have the same amount of land. It's our smallest state. But it has the same sovereignty and the same same level of authority over its people, just like China, other than the fact that it is probably an enumerated constitution. Don't know, I haven't looked at Rhode Island. They seem to be pretty progressive, so who knows? They may have a general constitution that has just created these general powers. But my point is that it doesn't matter the size of the state in this union. It has the ability to do a lot of either good things for its people or bad things. And that's what we need to be focusing on as all of these things move forward. How are the states going to deal with all of these new freedoms, if we want to call them that, as the federal government has to relinquish all of its unconstitutional powers? What the heck's going to happen? How are the states going to deal with that? Have you ever seen somebody that's won millions and millions of dollars from the lottery and then all of a sudden, hey, money's not a problem anymore? But guess what? For some of those people, and as a matter of fact, for most of those people, money becomes a problem down the road. Now, that's because people are usually left up to their own demise. You know, plus, they got family members that want to get their fair share, right? But in states, it's a little bit different because it's a group cognitive process in government, in the representative government that we have. So I don't believe that they will, we may have a state or two, but I don't believe there'll be a high level of states that will just throw themselves into, you know, throw caution to the wind and just run forward with reckless abandon. I don't see that happening. But I do see, what I do see happening is that there'll be some really brilliant ideas that'll start coming along and fixing problems. How to fix the collapse of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all of these unconstitutional welfare programs. I made a comment in a social media group on a page where they were talking about public pensions and government pensions and so forth. And they were saying, hey, you know, these unfunded pensions are going to become a huge problem. And my comment was that way leaders probably need to take the lead. Religious leaders need to take the lead in identifying what people, because if there are people that are depending on their retirement or what have you, government retirement, because governments are going broke. What do you do if you can't pay your people? Go look at Spain. Go look at Portugal. Go look at countries that have actually gone bankrupt and said, we can't pay you anymore. See how that works. It doesn't look good. So way leaders need to get involved. They need to get ahead of this so that they can, if they really care about their parishioners, they need to identify who has, you know, some diversity in their retirement plan, or who has been, you know, the the person that has been fully vested in the government, you know, retirement program and so forth, that actually has left them vulnerable or susceptible. So the fact of the matter is that there is going to be all different types of problems. Most every state is going to share similar problems, but how they go about fixing it is going to be incredible. And that is news that is going to actually be going somewhere, because we're actually moving away from the paradigm of centralizing power, losing liberty. I mean, that's what's happening. And that is not going anywhere. What we need to get going somewhere and get moving is the concept of creating news that is actually taking us down paths of real solutions of decentralized government, taking back the controls of our lives at the state level and even at the county level. Excuse me. So with that, I apologize. I didn't give you, you know, any of the details or even mention that Notre Dame was burning. I understand the relic and the historical significance, but I will tell you that there'll be other news stories like that, and I'll probably have to do the same thing, because a lot of people were just, you know, a little put off that I wasn't talking about it. What I want you to know is I'm here to talk about the solutions. We're really solution-based. And if you look at something burning, it, you know, and I do spend a lot of time on looking at things like that and saying, well, now you see what's happening. See what the education system is doing. See what that's called marketing, to where I can actually turn right around or stand next to you as we look at education and go, hey, nudge you a little bit and go, hey, what's it going to take? What does it take to get you to finally step up and go, you know what? This is unacceptable. We cannot allow this. I am no longer going to just allow these things to happen, because that's the whole point in trying to motivate people to invoke the change of course that we're on. Because sitting there and worrying about the little crisis or, you know, the tragedy du jour doesn't help anything. It doesn't solve anything. So with that, I'm probably running. Yep, I've already ran out of time. Hey, the listen to line. If you want to listen to this show, and you're traveling, and you know the precise time, you're going, hey, let me dial in. The listen number is 605-562-4209. I got to make sure it's up on our website. And one of the things I want to get into in the near future is social media. Kind of getting this out there so that in the next couple of maybe days or who knows weeks that we will get into some social media. But I do know that you're listening to the only show on air that provides real solutions in changing the course of our lives and our future. And so with that, let me take a break real quick, and then we'll get back into the groove of groveling. That's right, it's pretty groovy to grovel, so we will be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So, the groveling. Let me get into groveling. I had a few things that I wanted to, you know, dive into, and specifically the topics today. But let me grovel first, and let me give you a little kind of a personal picture of what's going on with GR's life, so they kind of understand there's going to be some changes in the dynamics with the show a little bit because of changes that I have no control over. But let me grovel first. We need your help. We humbly need your help. As a matter of fact, this cause is not my cause. I may have been the author, and I want you to understand, because this is not about my ego or anything else. I do know that I am susceptible just like everybody else, to take pride in authorship, that type of thing. But this is not for me to shoulder entirely. I want to make sure that the content, the context, and the message and the narrative, it does not change. It is focused, and it is focused on getting the federal government into compliance, which will then allow states to get into compliance and so forth. Most importantly, the money, it's because I had this conversation just recently with my wife. Because a long time ago, when I started writing my book and so forth, I saw, you know, that there was this opportunity to make money and so forth. And that's kind of changed. And she realized that's kind of changed. And we kind of had this discussion about it just recently about the fact that it's a big change. When you're no longer trying to make money and you're no longer trying to, you know, this is no longer an endeavor, an enterprise for one's self-benefit. This is truly an endeavor and an enterprise in preserving liberty for everybody. That's what the framers did. And so we need to get people to pony up so that we can get, how do you say it? I'll just say the divine hand of providence to start blessing us more. Because sometimes I feel like Lot. Have you ever felt like Lot? Like you've got this, the right thing. You know, we're doing the right thing here, and you have this, maybe this misconception, but you have this conception that there are really good people out there, that they want to do the same thing. They want to save this country. They want to save the Constitution. And the good Lord comes to Lot and says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if you can give me 100 good people or 10 good people or one. And come to find out, you're really the only one. I don't think I am, but there are other people that have contributed. I know there's lots of people out there. Maybe it's about the message. That's why I want to thank you for getting the message out. Hey, you need to start listening to this. You need to get involved in this. This is a real tangible solution that we all need to be very active in. And so in this discussion and conversation with my wife, she goes, well, you know, that has been a real big game changer. And it is important that we get that level of support, because bottom line, if it's dependent on our budget to be able to save the Union, save our Republic, save our Constitution, I'm telling you, the Mobley budget just isn't there. So we need your help. We could use financial help. We could use any type of help. I don't even have the budget in time to make all the phone calls and do everything that needs to be done. I need help. So if you want to help, if you want to be a part of the solution, let's get you first convinced that there is no other solution. Let's get you onto the same sheet of music that this is what we have to do. If it is not about compliance, then it's not solving anything. You know, all we're doing when we're addressing the homeless, when we're addressing education, when we're addressing, you know, gun violence, all you're doing is reacting and treating a symptom to the problem. The real problem is compliance to the Constitution in almost every direction you look at all of the different problems we face. It all comes back to compliance. Had the federal government maintained militias instead of arming all of these other things and stayed within the boundaries of the Constitution, we would not be having these gun problems. We would not be having a moral decay and a crisis, a moral crisis, literally coming out of out of our education system, where way too many kids are having way too many tantrums because they, you know, they want to be identified as whatever they think is best for them. Are you kidding me? That was never the intent. The framers would never have fathomed that we would get down this far into evil. And it comes down to compliance. So getting compliance and getting back to those things lets the states take control and let them start doing, you know, people will start moving from states that become, that want to maintain and embrace evil, where other states start thriving because they start embracing good principles. Those states will go bankrupt, or they will be forced to change on their own accord. But we will not bail them out. They will go into conservatorship. All the people will lose their public service positions and so forth. But the whole point is, we need your help. And if you want to help and you don't know how, send me an email. Have an honest conversation with me and say, hey, here's, you know, here's where I'm at. What can I do? And we will honestly try to do our best in helping you help save our republic. Because it is not for GR and a few good people. No, we're going to need a lot of good people. And so that's why we have our GoFundMe account with Reclaiming the Republic. And that's why we, you know, we're trying to get sponsors like Red State Coffee. If you, you know, if you drink coffee, buy Red State Coffee so that you can support this without having to really pay out of your pocket, even if you don't have any disposable money to go buy coffee. It's a great way to support a great cause. Anywho, there's other agencies or groups, and I talk about two very specific, the Constitution Club and our First Right. Go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com, N-I-N-G.com, and look into joining the Constitution Club. You could probably just Google Constitution Club, and it'll take you to constitutionclub.ning.com. Our First Right is another great organization that is doing what it can to getting this republic into a better representation for you and I. That's what, actually, I believe this amendment was one of Madison's amendments in the Bill of Rights. I don't know if it came out as a recommendation from any of the particular states or whether Madison, I forget, but I believe it was one of Madison's. If you want to get involved, there are ways to do so. But like I said, if you really don't know what or how, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Let me also let you know, I want to keep on harping this. I'm going to try to do this every day. Constitution Day is September 17th. What are you going to do? It's around the corner. It may seem like, wow, that's a half year away. That time is going to fly by fast. Start planning what you're going to do and how you are going to make Constitution Day more relevant in your community. Thanks for listening. Again, continue to try to get more and more people listening. The 23 hours a day to listen to the complete news cycle that's available out there, then, you know, by all means do that if you've got to get your news, you know, fix. But let's talk about, you know, at least 1 hour a day. Convince your friends to say, hey, spend 1 hour a day on talking and thinking and hearing about solutions instead of getting, you know, overloaded on all of the news that has no impact. And all it's doing is frustrating us and distracting us. Those are the distractions. So we appreciate all of your help. We appreciate all of your support. And in the news, we saw no sign that the federal government was going to relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So that means you and I are going to have to do this. It will fall upon us. If not us, who? And if not now, when? And so there you go. Red Pill Expo is June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. And it is going to be great. We're going to be airing G. Edward Griffin's, because we interviewed him today, we're going to be airing his interview in the near future. I will let you know a day or two in advance. And we're going to try to get some spots running as well. So anyway, we've got a couple months to do this between now and then, actually a little over a month, almost 2 months. So we're moving forward and we hope to see you there. Okay. All right. I want to spend a lot of time with Dr. John Arbile. I've interviewed him before, and after I wrote my first book and after I was just publishing my second book, Dr. Vile ended up buying my book, and so I sent it off to him, and he ended up buying my second book. And in the process, as he read my books, he ended up writing a book that then he cited my book in his, and not like he's, you know, heavily cited it, but he pointed out my perspective. I will tell you more about that when we come back and why we're going to be talking to him over the course of a lot of different topics over the course of the next few weeks. So please come back or stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So anyway, Mr. Vile, Dr. John Arbile of Middle Tennessee University, he just kind of summarized his perspective of what I was doing as a grand, or like the John C. Calhoun type of concept of nullification and states' rights. And so, and to be clear, Dr. Vile does not support Republic Review because it is not under the control of the central, he'll actually support the convention of states and the amendment process instead of Republic Review. And I don't know if he has an amendment that would actually solve all the problems, because that's been everybody's big complaint. What is the amendment? What do we need to do? We need to comply. That's what we need to do. Anyway, but the fact is, I've covered a lot of topics here over the past year since I've been with Red State Talk Radio. And what I want to do, and my intent, is to rehash many of these important topics with the good doctor. So I'm going to kind of go through them, and I'm going to kind of try to create a baseline today, tomorrow, however long it takes, so that you can mark on your calendar April 16th, 17th, 18th, whatever days they are, as the baseline on what I believe we need to do and the perspectives on these important issues that we're all kind of looking at, and I'll go through them. But let me get into the the problems, because I told you some things are changing in my life. Everybody, you know, we all have dogs, we all have pets, and so they get older and so forth. And I have a female English bulldog that has bonded with me. And if you know anything about dogs that bond, they need you. And so they become, as they get older, especially a bulldog, she's just really has become very dependent, and she has separation anxiety and so forth. If I leave, when I go on a trip, my wife hates it when I go on a trip, because all she does is she'll come into the room where my wife is, and she'll just bark and bark and bark, you know, where is he? Where is he? And so many a times she'll just try to sit down and calm her and so forth, but to no avail. And that's what happens. And the English Bulldog is a breed that is so dependent on the human that, you know, I don't think they could survive on their own. There's no such thing as wild packs of bulldogs anywhere. And because you create boundaries, we have, you know, we create boundaries with our dogs, and they will, if we're not home to feed them, they will end up dying of starvation, even though there's a bag of dog food that's open over, you know, in a corner or something. They won't knock it down. They won't drink out of the toilet. They just don't, they won't do things to survive. That's just because they, if you want to say stubborn, but they just stay within the boundaries. They don't want to upset you. They want to make you happy. They're a unique character. They're a unique breed. I love them. But anyway, so she's at that point, and I can't not let her have access to come in here, or she just has a real fit. And, you know, she doesn't have, she doesn't have one foot in the grave, but she's getting there, and I'm just too sympathetic for, you know, keeping her away. So if you want to see mollycoddling, I'm mollycoddling our bulldog. So every once in a while, you may hear her bark. And so we have other bulldogs, but she's the one that has access to Daddy. And so if you hear her, her name's Maggie. That's Maggie barking. And another change in my life, I've got a parent that is, you know, health is declining, going into hospice and so forth. So we're going to be at a point where we're going to be moving my parent into the house with us. And I, heaven forbid, I have to capture this on the air, but I just want to let you know that someday I may actually have to just stop talking and actually just broadcast a pre-broadcasted thing before. And that's literally because of a life and death type of thing that's happening. And so these are the things that I, you know, I'm trying to, you know, be able to handle, address, and still keep things moving and going. You know, the Lord puts challenges in our lives, but he gives us, I think, the strength and capacity to deal with them and keep moving forward and keep progressing. And so I just wanted to share that with you before it got lost, because like I said, things change quickly, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the better. What I want to get into are the topics at hand so that we can actually, I'll use the word encapsulate. Well, so we can actually encapsulate my perspective, what I believe we need to be doing, whether we should be doing this, whether, you know, and so forth. So that when we engage the good doctor, I want to kind of look at it with, you know, real open eyes to see what his perspective is. But if you understand academics, if you understand teachers, really good teachers don't come with a predisposed decision on what needs to be done, right? What they do is they kind of leave that for you, and they kind of see how you would solve the problem, because that's their job, is to help teach you that. So he's a classic academ. He's not a guy that is out there trying to tell you how to think and what to think. Actually, he is helping you to think how to think, but most of them are indoctrinating you to what to think and what you need to do instead of how, you know, you can do things for yourself. And so these classic academics are a dying breed in colleges and in the educational institution. But what I want to do is I want to kind of get his perspective in seeking or how he would address the solutions of these problems du jour that we've been going over and over and over and over and over, like immigration and the wall. Would he support, you know, these types of solutions, or does he support those in government to just come up with solutions? You know, because when you're talking to a classic academic, you know, they've got all these different ideas, or they've been exposed to all these potentially different ideas. Now, in context, everything that he gets exposed to is in the confines and context of what he teaches, but I still believe that he has some different insights that I want to tap at a raw level so that we can get them out there to go, huh, there you go. Because he's not one of those guys, I'm sure, that he doesn't, you know, when he goes to work or drives home, is listening to the news and going on and on about, we got to do this, we got to do this. And then when he gets into the classroom, he starts preaching to the kids, we've got to do this, we got to do this. He's not that kind of guy. He is truly an educator. He's been doing this for a long time. He's a good man, and I have a great respect for him, even when we don't agree on something. 9 times out of 10, we agree, but we just not sometimes agree on the big things. But that's okay. I learned a long time ago that the only thing that makes you a better person is to expose yourself to people that don't agree with you. If you expose yourself to people that only agree with you, then you actually become pretty weak in your concepts and ideas, because nobody ever challenges you and nobody ever challenges that idea. And actually, that kind of goes into, you know, how I've gotten to what I believe is a real rock solid process for Republic Review, the audit and everything else. Due to the fact that the John Birch Society has been out there challenging me, this is a backdoor, and now I'm in a point where they can't prove that anymore, and that's why they just refer back to my books, and they said, hey, wrote a book, and he was saying this, you know, who is this guy? Okay, well, it's not about me. It's not, you know, they're making it about me. This is a process that the states have the authority to do. Nobody can argue this. Nobody can argue against my argument. So that's why they start picking at the messenger. Sounds like a bunch of progressives. You've got it. And so I'm running out of time. So one of the topics, the first topic we're going to talk about with the good doctor will be the militia. I know I have uncovered a lot of facts that, you know, they're supposed to be enforcing laws, and some of the things that the militia is supposed to do, and some of the things that were synonymous with the militia, like martial law and the concept of stopping invasions, the concept that protests were not considered an acceptable thing, that, in, you know, if there was an uprising, civil unrest, or what have you, the militia was supposed to get involved in quelling and stifling and shutting down protests like that. It's one thing to address grievances via the First Amendment, but it's another thing to just start going out and affecting the flow of commerce and everybody else's civil rights and so forth. We're a civil society, and we're not a bunch of, you know, let's just say mollycoddled and enabled temper tantrum, you know, kids that we can just go out and have a fit out in the street, stop traffic, and start damaging property because things aren't going the way we want them to. And because that's why we have all of these stupid Antifa problems and so forth, and all these bad occurrences when we see these protests. So what I want to do today is I want to kind of cover at the high level, these perspectives that I've kind of exposed you to. And so we're starting off with the militia. And as we go into this break, I want you to think, when we come back, well, we just covered this. So this is the last thing we covered. So what are the things or the facts that we've learned about the militia so we can kind of encapsulate them, and then we can then down the road talk to the good doctor about his thoughts and paradigms on these things. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so some of the things that we learned about the militia was that the militia was our integral defense. It was the reason, in having the militia, it was the primary reason why we would never need a standing army. The militia was also supposed to support and enforce constitutional laws. If the federal government was going to impose a law upon us, it was to be the militia that was supposed to do this, not the BLM, not the IRS. No one out there had the authority to be knocking on anybody's doors other than the state militia to knocking on their own state fellow family members, friends, associates, neighbors' doors. They were the ones that said, excuse me, Mr. Jones, sorry to tell you this, but, you know, the federal government has passed this law that is constitutional, and they are, you know, requiring that we all have to do these things, like if you're making your own. And the reason why is because they didn't have big, huge manufacturing facilities. People were making their own moonshine. They were making their own whiskey in their own homes. And so they actually went out to enforce those laws amongst the people or amongst the businesses that, you know, that were big enough in doing that. But the intent was that the people were not supposed to be dealing with bureaucrats that were coming in from somewhere else. And so if you hear a bunch of panting, that is Maggie I told you about. And so they breathe a little heavy. Anywho, let me move on. So the militia, the intent was that they were supposed to be armed, equipped, and trained. So the federal government has no business arming, equipping, and training sheriffs or municipal police departments or what have you. You want to have those, that's fine. But the militia was designed for a very specific purpose in supporting the federal government as well as the states. And so we have deviated from that. Synonymous with the militia, when the militia is to be called during civil unrest or those types of things, that is when martial law can be called. And only when the militia is called. That was very clearly stipulated by Madison in the ratification debates. Therefore, the militia is that important and that integral in what should have happened with the Civil War and moving forward. So that's one of the topics that I just want to dive into with the Good Doctor, because we're so far away from this today that it wouldn't take much to get there. There are states that still have militias, and there are states that are being denied that integral support that those militias are supposed to get. So another topic that I want to get into is the 14th Amendment. And there's two points that we've covered over the course of the past year. The Individual Privileges and Immunities Clause that is applied to the states so that the states cannot pass any laws that infringe upon your individual privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution, such as your Second Amendment rights, such as your religious rights. And the fact that states are actually passing laws and enforcing and keeping you from being able to express your religion and prayers and those types of things is a direct violation of that. And the other factor of the 14th Amendment that I want to dive into, I want to get into this good, is the Section 3 and being able to start banning public servants from being able to serve or being able to hold office. And so I want to get into that. I want to expose that. I want to dive into that. I think that that is something that needs to be investigated. And nobody probably than the Good Doctor would probably take the time in, you know, pulling up the congressional records, all of them, because it's not easy to wade through. But everything that I've read, there's nothing there that says that this is about treason, that this is about wartime. This is strictly about holding political servants accountable to their oath of office in supporting the Constitution. And if they violate that, then they lose their ability to be a public servant and they are banned for life. And I want to see this start to get enforced again. I think we need to bring back the relevance and importance that you have to take an oath in serving this country, that you have to understand the Constitution that you're serving. It would shut down some of these Oso communists and Ilhan Omars and all the rest of these radicals that are, you know, thumbing their nose at our Constitution and saying, we're going to shred it with that type of cavalier disregard. Anyway, so the 14th Amendment is definitely a topic that we're going to dive into. And before we get into each of these, what I want to do is kind of prep you so that I kind of recap this stuff again, but I just want to expose you to these things so that we can, I can encapsulate them in all the detail before I have to do it in the show. Because I don't want to take up those shows when we're diving into that, because I want him to kind of express what he thinks, what he wants. And regarding the 14th Amendment, I honestly believe that as the academic, I think he would just say, well, I think that's, you know, kind of left up to not as a grassroots movement or party thing, but it's just kind of left up to, you know, how we want to implement those things. Because, you know, in the past, he's told me that we've moved on, that we're no longer looking at things that way. So we have to accept the changes that we have moved on to, we can. And it's kind of frustrating when I hear academics talk like that, but that's how they think. And so when he says those types of things, I won't be surprised that he'll go, well, that's kind of passé. And but I don't think he will, because he is a staunch believer of the Constitution. I mean, he's written over 40 books about it. So the next topic I wanted to get into was immigration and building the wall. What to do with the millions of immigrants, illegal immigrants, that are here violating our laws and doing all the things that they're doing. What is his view on the importance of immigration? What is his view on protecting our borders and protecting our culture, protecting our Constitution? What does he want to see? What is he, you know, what does he perceive as a solution forward? Because if we continue down this path of just, you know, leaving the welcome mat out and allowing everybody from Central America to just come here and because of asylum or what have you, then, you know, that's going to change our culture. There are consequences to this kind of behavior, and our Constitution was never designed to allow invasions like that to occur. So what do we do? Well, obviously, allowing these people to move here doesn't solve the problem with the government down there. All it does is it creates an enabling of people to run here. So what do we do? How do we fix this? See, the progressives, they don't want to fix it because they want to change our culture and bring people here that are okay with government telling them what to do. Yes, please take care of us. Give us a job or at least give us food. And we don't want that. We want to get back to the government that we had. So this is going to be a good conversation with a good doctor. I don't want to anticipate, and I shouldn't be doing that like I just did in the past couple topics. I'm looking with bated breath on how he wants to talk about solving the problem of immigration. Does he believe that the wall would work? Obviously, we have an open, porous border with Mexico, and they're doing anything and everything they can to traffic drugs and people, sex workers and so forth, into this nation. What does he think? What does he think and what does he suggest? That's what I meant to say. So anyway, the other thing that I wanted to get into was the fact that the deep state exists. I want to see if he acknowledges that. And what does he think about, you know, all of these politicized agencies that are out to support an agenda and, you know, controlling narratives and all of that? I know that in a previous conversation, he's brought up the CIA in, you know, kind of controlling thoughts and so forth. So I kind of want to get his idea of, does he really believe that the deep state should exist, or what do we need to do to get rid of the deep state? And this is where we're going to talk about a few other things that involve, you know, getting rid of or purging, draining the swamp and what have you. And one of those things would be rescinding the 17th Amendment. So I have talked to him before about this. So we're going to kind of retrace some grounds with him. I never talked to him over the air with this, but I want to get his ideas, and I want to prove, because I believe there's evidence that we can actually get the federal government, or not the federal government, but get the states in rescinding the 17th Amendment and allowing them to start appointing their own senators. Get his take on suffrage. I know that he kind of believes, because he's told me before, that he believes that the states aren't losing their representation in the Senate. They still have two senators, but it's really not the states. It is not the sovereigns that have any pull. As a matter of fact, the sentiment from every single representative that I've talked to in the past year and a half has been that the senators that represent their states, you know, can have a deaf ear to anything and everything they have to say. That is a huge problem, especially when they're supposed to be representing them. With that, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I am G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we really need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.